Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
It's hour three, and we're ready for your calls to place orders here at NutriMedical. Just call 888-212-8871. Michelle is busy. We're only going to be open for another 2 hours, and then we're off for the weekend, but you can place orders 24/7 on our site. We ship worldwide. We have amazing nutraceuticals, remarkable support services. In fact, you can email me at Dr. Bill Deagle, drbill, D-E-A-G-L-E, at hotmail.com, and I'll provide you a starter protocol and follow-ups. And if you even purchase one product and you want a time window call back, I'll do that for you as well. But you need to be available and have your cell phone beside your side because I'm very busy. So we should have Vince Finelli here on shortly from USA Prepares. He has a show here on Genesis Network for years and also broadcast over also on RBN. And Vince has talked to me today before the show, so he will be available. Talks about everything from power generation to sewage treatment when the power goes out to alternatives for food, etc. And we need to talk about preparedness because we have so many things going on that are likely to cause a major disruption of our Western civilization. And people aren't prepared for extreme weather, EMP attack, or a solar coronal mass ejection. We've got Vince. Welcome back, Vince. This is going to be the first of many shows here at Genesis Network, and of course you've been on the network here and broadcast over on RBN for a long time, for many years. We talked about the show today about power generation, and we shared some issues. Let's start with your list of topics that you want to cover today. Let's get started from the top.
Well,
power generation.
Thank you for having me on the air. Dr. Deagle, one of the things that I'd like to talk about is how do you know what to prepare for? So this is a simple little drill we can talk about that will let our listeners know exactly what they need to prepare for individually, okay, and as a family. Another thing we can talk about is LED lighting, how to build a very simple, inexpensive LED lighting system that is on the ready, and all you do is flip the switch and you're ready to go. Another thing we can talk about is generators and power inverters. Now, a generator, we can talk about diesel generators versus gasoline power generators versus propane power generators. They all have pluses and minuses. We can talk about what they are and how much fuel they consume. I think those who are paying attention to us today will be shocked at how much fuel one of these little generators can consume. And also, if it's a small portable generator, how little power they generate in the scheme of things. And we can talk about an inverter, which is absolutely silent. It's a solid-state electronic device that you can hook up to a car battery that will provide 120 volts of electricity for some of the things that you might need during a power outage. So that's what I have on my list for today.
Right. Now, one of the things that I've discovered, because when our power went out, we had some pretty bad power outages here in California back in the fall of 2011. And what I did is I put on a 20-kilowatt Generac generator. Now, I've contacted a number of companies. There was a company up, I think, in Montana that takes old nickel iron batteries, and they refurbish them. These were the ones developed by Edison. And, in fact, people don't realize that his largest amount of profit was actually making these batteries for miners and mines. And the batteries literally are indestructible. If you refurbish them, they can literally go for centuries. They're much better than nickel These nickel iron batteries are much better than lead acid batteries, which kind of burn out in a matter of years depending on usage. And you mentioned a very important principle, which is the header, the amount of power you can deplete the battery before you actually permanently damage it. You can only deplete about 15% on the lead acid batteries before you actually damage the battery itself, whereas with the nickel hydrogen batteries, you can deplete them down tremendously, so you need a lot less batteries to supply power. And also, they don't have a short life. They literally last for decades. So I want people to understand that there is a refurbishing company. I found them a little expensive, so you found a source, and I don't know if you buy them through your company, but the source, believe it or not, is in China. It's strange. It's like our power step-down transformers have moved to manufacturing in China now. So we don't. If we had a damage to our power grid, we'd have to order from China, one of our potential, quote, enemies and competitors, to get step-down transformers to replace their power grid. So this is a national security issue which Donald Trump needs to approach, because why? It's like the uranium thing, like Uranium One. Why would we have our power generation transformer systems in China? And secondly, it's bizarre that we could actually order iron batteries from China, which are considerably less expensive than the ones refurbished in Montana, and they're ideal. The best system I see coming in the future is what's called solar hydrogen, but I contacted the company in Northern California, and they're not prepared to make small systems for small communities or homes yet. They make these big sucker ones for, you know, what they call gas stations, where they can gas up cars with hydrogen, or large panel systems. I'm not sure why they chose that particular model, but I think if they double-tracked it, they'd find a lot of people would love to have a hydrogen solar system as a adsorbing tank that wouldn't blow up like the Hindenburg on their home, and they could cook their food with hydrogen, they could fuel their car up with hydrogen, and of course it's not that hard to change the carburation, so your car would use a hydrogen-based fuel engine system, even, you know, very simple modification from even a propane-driven system, which, by the way, most of the taxi cabs in places like Calgary, Alberta, are run on propane. People don't know that. It's far more efficient than gasoline, isn't it?
In many ways it is. Back in the 1970s, I had a job working behind the counter at an auto parts store, an independent auto parts store. And what was nice about that is we could buy whatever we wanted. We weren't dictated to product lines by the big chain or the corporate headquarters. And one of our customers wanted some unique products from us. And what he did was he had a taxi fleet. And he decided he had had it with paying gasoline tax, federal and state tax on gasoline, back in the 70s, and he decided to convert all of his taxi cabs, his yellow cabs, to run on propane. And I remember talking to him over the counter about this, and he said, you won't believe it, Benny, because he didn't have to do oil changes anywhere near as frequently, maybe every 25 to 50,000 miles. And he said he pulled the heads off, and there was no carbon. And the exhaust systems seemed to last forever because the sulfuric acid in the exhaust was non-existent, you know, as it is in gasoline-powered vehicles. So from a perspective of freedom from maintenance, lower maintenance costs, and also the increased economy, he loved it. He thought it was a great way to go. Probably saved him at least half of the operational cost for the cab as he was paying when he was running the very same vehicles on gasoline. So, yeah, it's a great way to go.
I think it's kind of strange that a lot of technologies, one of the things that we had a caller yesterday that called in, Charles, and Charles has been calling in over the years, and he brought in a question about carburation. Now, my father was not only a gemologist, but he was an instrumentation fitter in nuclear power plants, pulp and paper mills, heavy water plants, etc., and one of his buddies, because they made a lot of money. When these guys were on shutdown, they're making double and triple money. And he would buy a car back in the early 70s with cash. We sent a roll of cash in, because it was before all these credit cards, to purchase a car, one of these big T-Birds, which is around almost 7,000 pounds, unibody construction, with the big veins on them. And he got it shipped down by rail, and when he got it out on the highway, he was getting 55 miles in the city and 75 on the highway. He thought there was something wrong with the needle. The gas needle wasn't dropping. So he opened it up and said, experimental carburation system. Now, this is before electronic carburation. And my father started talking to some of the engineers, and this was at the Esso refineries. And it turned out that which, of course, is owned by the Rothschilds, they had 500 patents on different technologies that they were suppressing on energy efficiency technology. People need to know, like Brown's gas and all kinds of ways, or even just returning the exhaust from your vehicle, can tremendously improve the mileage of your car and reduce the pollution you're producing. But they suppress it purposely. That's why when you see the car company say, oh, we can maybe push another couple miles, or we're going to have an electric kind of hybrid car, people need to realize this is a game they're playing, isn't it?
Question in my mind, I learned about that 100-mile-per-gallon carburetor back in the 60s when my dad told me about that invention being purchased by the large gas companies and then put on the shelf so we wouldn't be able to get it. Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They did it on purpose, and believe it or not, people say, no, they wouldn't be that evil. Are you kidding me? Back in a moment with Vincinelli, USA Prepares. Back, and we have Vince Finelli. Vince, you have a show here in the Genesis Network, also broadcast over in RBN. What's your website so people can get information about what you do? We'll have you back on regularly. Perhaps what we'll do is we'll also post some promotion of some of the products and lines. You mentioned about the nickel iron batteries, which are now available from China, because apparently the company that was refurbishing them here in America ran out of batteries to refurbish. They really don't wear out. I mean, all you have to do is change the electrolytes of these nickel hydrogen batteries, and what I heard from the actual financial analysis is that Edison, that had these batteries made more money from them than he did from the incandescent light bulbs. So they're very popular, especially with mines and places where you can't have the lights go out if you're deep in a mine. You have to have the lights go on, or if you have an air pumping system to pump air down the shaft, these things, if they go, you have dead miners. So tell us about the deep cycle of these batteries and the costs and so on, because I have a 20-kilowatt generator that'll kick on in 4 seconds. I got 6 years ago. I'm in the process of considering whether I'd get something, a system like the Solarc system, which unfortunately it still uses lead-acid batteries, which eventually can wear out. What I want to put together is a Chimera, basically a nickel hydrogen battery system that goes through a controller on my pad and change my circuit board. So basically, most of my things like my computers and everything all the time are running on solar, and only other elements will run on, you know, the backup power, my propane. And I'll turn down my Generac generator from basically full out power, which it does 20 kilowatts, down to where you can have it considerably putting out less so it doesn't chew up all my 2 500-gallon propane tanks. Because one of the biggest dangers that people don't realize is by the fourth day, not only is all the food rotting and all the garages can't pump gasoline, but the sewage is going to start backing up. So we have, you know, battery systems are ineffective. People buying solar, and when the solar power goes out, if you buy with a local company like here in California, you don't have lights and you don't have power because the solar just reduces the cost of your electricity, supposedly. But these public systems are so darn expensive. I looked at it a few years ago, and to change our power and have battery systems running by a publicly funded or, you know, write-off system, it would be a few $100,000 to put a system in for our home and business that's in my home in North County, San Diego, because I have a 4,500-square-foot home with our business and our shipping right here from Southern California, North County, San Diego. This is unreasonable for most people. They don't have that amount of money, and I wouldn't waste it if I could figure I can get an alternative. So let's talk about what you'd recommend, because my system is evolving. Eventually, I want to have solar and wind hydrogen. So if I had a wind generator and solar, I want to generate hydrogen, but that's not available yet, is it?
No. So you want to know what we built?
Is that yes. Well, yeah. What would you recommend? What would you recommend?
I have a small home-based business. I'm a farmer.
Right.
And I talk to people on the phone, and I do a broadcast very much as you do. And so I wanted to make sure, absolutely sure, that if the power went down, I could keep broadcasting. And I want to make sure that the essential functions of our farm can keep going should there
right.
be a power outage.
Right.
And we had a massive power outage. We had an ice storm, and the ice was so heavy on the power lines, it broke them. And so we had lots and lots of people without power, and the roads were just so slick that the utility companies couldn't get out here. So we were without power for about 11 days. So that was a problem. Now, for those people who have wells, and if you don't have a generator, there's no water. There's no water. The refrigeration isn't quite so much of a problem when it's freezing outside, but the water is a problem. And let's say you have an electric stove. Well, how are you going to cook if you have just an electric stove? So here's what we did. We looked at, when we built our house 12 years ago, we thought, all right, what are the things that we don't want to be subject to in terms of outages? And one of them was cooking. So that's simple. No electric stove. We have a propane range. The oven is propane, and the cooktop is propane. And now, refrigeration is a problem because most efficient refrigeration runs on electricity. All right? So if you want a side-by-side refrigerator, or if you want to have a separate refrigerator and a separate freezer, that's what we have in our kitchen, separate refrigerator, separate freezer, they are they run on electricity.
Right.
But they're pretty darn efficient. Next thing is the well. So we wanted to make sure we had provision to generate enough power to run our 220-volt well pump, which is a couple hundred feet down under
right.
the surface of the earth. All right,
right,
so those are the main things. And then, of course, we have a heating system, and we have a hot air system, which, you know, for air conditioning is wonderful because you have ductwork and you have a blower, and it circulates the air across the coils. But in the wintertime, we have propane backup, and we have a heat pump. Now, the heat pump uses a lot of energy, so that's not practical. So what we did was we put in an outdoor wood furnace. This thing has it looks like a shed with a chimney. It has a 4-foot by 5-foot firebox. So you could cut a Christmas tree in half and put that in there. I mean, that's how big the firebox is.
Right.
Well, we use that for heating our house. And we have a stone house. It's not a small house. And that wood stove can heat our entire house and heat our hot water. So we've taken care of a couple big ones. Hot water is an enormous consumer of electricity. So we heat our hot water with our wood stove, and we heat our house with our wood stove. But we need to circulate the air in our ductwork. So that's about 150, 200 watts of power needed for that. So what we did was we figured out how much power we need, and then we determined what's the best way to generate that electricity. Well, when the sun is shining, it's really quiet and quite efficient if you have solar panels. So we bought 60 solar panels. Each one of them is 300 watts. And I spent months building a frame, a rack, if you will, in the exact angle that we wanted, aimed at the sun in the southern sky to generate electricity. And just before you and I went on the air, I jumped off the scaffold after putting the last panel on of this particular rack. It's 2 by 14. So there's 28 solar panels in this particular rack, and that will get us through the winter. So we have solar panels on a rigid rack. It's not adjustable. It's aimed south, and it's on an angle that is ideally suited for winter. Summer would be a different angle from the winter, and if snow lands on it, the snow will just fall off it because it's kind of a steep angle. So we have that. Then we have charge controllers that take the electricity from those solar panels and drive that electricity into the battery bank. Now, our battery bank is about 8 feet long, 3 feet wide, and about 3 feet tall. It weighs about 4,400 pounds. And it's made with those nickel iron cells that you've been talking about, the ones that Edison designed or his team designed. And I believe that they will last generations. So they're relatively maintenance-free. They require adding distilled water about once a month or every 2 months, depending on how much you charge them and discharge them, but they should last a very long time. The next component is the inverter. Our inverter is made by Snyder Electric. And when we come back, I can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so in other words, you can get these components. You have the companies that supply each of the components to get your own system put together?
Uh-huh, yeah, you can do it yourself. It's
perfect.
Work.
Back, back in a moment. Vince, let's talk about this, because one of the first things that's going to happen if the power goes out, and these are the kind of, if I was going to make a B-movie and advise somebody making a movie, a big blockbuster, there's one out now called Geostorm, and it's interesting the timing, because it's right at the time when these geostorms, or artificially created storms, they're amplified by global cooling. People have to understand, when you have the northern latitudes pushing the storm systems further south, and you have the hot middle areas of the Earth's equator, you get the generation of storms, but we could actually block them and move them out or neutralize them using space-based Tesla technology that we'd use interferometry fields to move the storm cells. The fact is, we're going to have more superstorms. And they also, it's obvious that Donald Trump and his people around him are not advising that we have technology to prevent storms. The fact that our power grid is really fragile, for example, whether it's fires in Northern California or earthquakes that can break the gas and fire power lines, or the fact we could be hit by a coronal mass ejection or a weapon. For example, I had 8 months ago, I had a gentleman from CENTCOM in my home, because he actually at that time was working for DirecTV fixing my satellite and my roof. And his name is Jason Burgess. He was on my show 6 weeks ago over at RBN. I tried to get him back on. I think he's fearful maybe somebody visited him after he was bold enough to come on and talk about how North Korea could hit us with an EMP weapon and long-range missile from their Pyongyang. And people don't understand that we're incredibly vulnerable to not only hacking into the increasingly digital smart grid, which is not very smart, we should call it a stupid grid rather than smart grid, and it's very fragile. It's not designed to actually take on storms or extreme weather or coronal mass ejections or even a hacking attack, a cyber hack, or an EMP weapon. And all you have to do is fire up a missile 100,000 feet into the air, 300 miles off the coast in a fishing boat, and blow a relatively mild yield, 3 to 4 kiloton EMP-generating nuclear weapon, and within 1,500 radio miles, anything that distributes power and cell phone towers is knocked out, and there's no replacement equipment. It'll take months to years to replace that, and people are not ready. I mean, I advised the federal government when I worked with the CDC and the FBI in 1997, re-met with them in 2001, and these people are populated by either evil or stupid people. It really is mind-boggling, isn't it? It's like the Keystone Cops dealing with, for example, the Mandalay Bay Massacre. This is a combination of incompetence and just plain evil of what's going on, isn't it?
Well, you're absolutely right. I ran for the board of directors of our local electric cooperative in August for the second time. I was defeated twice. And the first time I got on stage in front of the membership, a couple thousand people, and I pulled a cartridge out of my jacket pocket. And I said, this is a 5.56 cartridge, and I paid about 20 cents for it. One of these can take out a transformer. I'm not going to tell you how, but it can. And so if someone wanted to take out one of these one-of-a-kind transformers in a substation, it can be done this way. Well, in August, I was greeting the people who were coming to the annual meeting again, and I was going to go on stage again. And
right.
this guy in a suit looks at me. He goes, "Did you bring that bullet?" And I said, no, I didn't bring it. He said, "Well, that's idiotic." And I said, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's idiotic that could do that damage." I said, "No, I verified that with the engineer from the electric cooperative. It's absolutely true." And he said, "That's idiotic." And I said, "You know, I can't help with that. You don't get it." But here we have, and I got defeated again. And I was the platform the first time that I ran for the board of directors was to protect the power grid, exactly what you're talking about, from an EMP, whether it be man-made or a coronal mass ejection. But I got laughed at. And this time I did it, let's lower everyone's electric bill. That's what I wanted to do. And people said, no, I'm happy with my electric bill right where it is. We don't need it lowered. I am surrounded by stupidity. I mean, I don't...
Our civilization is basically guaranteed to crash. And I'll give you an example of what's going to happen over the next, say, 5, 10, 20 years, but probably relatively new, early rather than late. Let's look at not just our local Earth, but the solar system. The first thing that's happening is we have the passage of Nibiru, Heraclius, the Devil Star, whatever you want to call it. You know, the Dragon Star they referred to in ancient Egyptian and Sumerian myths. This star returns there every 20-plus thousand years, and when it does, it's a hyper-elliptical dwarf star that has a magnetic field 200 times stronger than the Sun, and has a geomagnetic gravitational field about 20% as strong as the Sun. And when it has large objects as large as Uranus and Neptune rotating around it, so it has its own planetary cycle, but it's 0.73 light years out in the Oort cloud. It's not coming to the inner solar system, but it is pushing hyperelliptical comets into the inner solar system, like Sighting Spring that came by about 4 years ago. What people need to be aware of is these gravity waves are very damaging. Gravity waves change the coronal mass activity of the Sun, and all the solar activity that generates the Sun's heat is not deep inside the Sun. That's a lie. It's in the chronosphere that's up to 100,000 miles above the surface of the Sun. The temperature of the surface of the Sun is only 5,000 to 6,000 degrees. Did you know that?
Literally, what you're talking about is very much like a gas burner. The temperature of the burner is not as hot as the flame that's just above it.
Right. The flame is actually 100,000 miles plus above the Sun, and these are directly affected by gravity waves. Now, what happens is all the inner planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, you know, Jupiter, Earth, Venus, Mars, etc., are all basically nuclear reactors. In fact, the abiotic theory, called the gold theory, of how the oil was made, was presented in 1951, a year before I was born, 66 years ago, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And because it was believed by Russian engineers that attended the conference, they went off to Russia and decided to drill down 35 to 40,000 feet where the abiotic oil is, far deeper than when any dinosaur or fern ever existed in the ancient world going back a billion years. So what people have to understand, these coronal mass effects have an effect. Now, I'm trying to get Dr. Steve Jacobson on from Northwestern University because he's proven with him and other teams around the world that ringwoodite, which is an unstable rock that contains up to 5% water, is the source of all the water for the oceans, and there's 10 times more water underneath the Earth than the mantle and an tectonic plate batholith of giant oceans of water, just like the Bible says in Genesis. That most of the water is actually not in the clouds or the oceans or the seas. It's actually inside the Earth or in the form of ringwoodite. Now, ringwoodite bubbles up in the interoceanic cleft because from the center of the oceans, around 23,000 miles long. And when ringwoodite gets exposed to high-energy compression, which they've done in the lab with Dr. Jacobson, they release nascent water. And it's nascent oxygen and hydrogen that combines, so it's not deuterium or tritium. Now, why is this important? Because the unstable nuclei literally releases nascent oxygen and hydrogen with gravity waves. And when water is released, it lowers the melting temperature of magma. So all the magma, all the earthquakes on Earth, all the volcanoes are due to planetary alignment that causes gravity waves and lensing, or gravity waves from a passing large comet or a large space body that are like the returning dwarf star in the outer Oort cloud. That means that the reason why there's a massive surge of earthquakes and volcanoes is due to the passage of this devil star that's in ancient mythology. Okay? Now, human civilization on Earth is much older than what people think. You know, they refer to the Adamic theory, we're only here 7,000 years. But in fact, if you look at in the Hopi Indians and others that know about ancient history, we're into what's called the fifth fall of mankind. We've probably been on Earth relatively genetically not changed significantly for 500,000 years. Okay? And the fact is, we've had advanced civilizations with even more advanced technology than our current civilization, including anti-gravitonics and other technology openly available, going back as early as 25 to 35,000 years, which is why the Germans, through the Thule-Gellenschaft Society, tried to channel how to build the Vimana using the circulating plasma of mercury to create a gravitonic boundary zone for Higgs bosons. And when you make a Higgs boson field, the same thing as a field of Archimedes actually creates an anti-gravitonic field effect. Now, why is this important? It's because we're going to have coastal destruction all across the world. We're going to have a major increase in volcanoes and earthquakes all over the world, including the seamount sitting off of the Naples, Italy, giant seamount off of Oregon, These things are going to get a lot more active. In fact, the ICLEI and the Resilient Cities Project has met Barack Obama 40 times planning that when these catastrophes strike by 2025, which is only 8 years from now, the U.S. population will be reduced from 325 million to 65 million in 12 resilient cities, with people having 300 to 400 square feet of space per person. You don't want to believe me? Check it out by checking the internet. It's there in the sewer net. Back in a moment. Also do some videos with you. By the way, I do videos an hour before the show Monday to Friday, which is 1 p.m. Monday to Friday, or I do it on Monday to Wednesday after the show, or I do it on Sundays. I take the Sabbath or Saturday off, not doing any videos on Saturday, but on Sunday I do, and we should do some, because I want people to understand that I have levels of knowledge, and you're very knowledgeable in the prepper stuff, but I have levels of knowledge in almost every field, and many of the fields I know are incredibly classified. I release more classified information than Julian Assange and all the other people that release information about various databases and so on, than all of these other agencies or people collectively in human history. And if you look at it over time, a lot of people say, well, why don't they kill you, Deagle? I said, if they kill me, you might believe. Because I've not been a peripheral person. I've been above top secret clearance. I was the exit examiner of the Alpha Premier building. I took care of the first kid shot in Columbine. I worked in Operation Top Off in Dark Winter with Reserve Admiral Hughes and the FBI and CDC, and met him again before 9/11. People need to know when I'm talking about these things, they'll say, why didn't they just kill you, Deagle? I said, you know what? If I didn't exist, they'd have to create a false version of me or someone like me to be a controlled opposition to whatever else they're putting out. Just like nobody's talking about it, even Tucker Carlson on Fox News, about all the anomalies over the Mandalay Bay massacre. I can tell you predictively, even if we didn't manipulate and create geostorms or artificial weather, the destruction of the coastal areas of the United States and other areas of the world by super tsunamis like Cumbre Viejo and the Azores, superstorms, earthquakes, volcanoes, etc., is going to keep ramping up to the point where anybody living in a coastal area anywhere in the world is putting their life in danger. Now, you can live at 7 miles in, at least 1,000 feet in elevation, because if you're going to have a tsunami, depending on the altitude, if you're on the East Coast, because of the elevation, some of these tsunamis are going to go up to 100 miles or more inland, because most of the places are under 300 feet elevation. But people aren't prepared for this. They think, ah, you're making this up. We've had John Moore on the show for years. He had classified access. But I have tons of other sources, including classified sources and spiritual information on top of that that confirms it. But classified sources inside these agencies, and what I'm telling you, if you're not prepping, you're going to be in a state of absolute shock. You're not just dealing with power outages. You're dealing with, if you think these storms that hit Texas and Louisiana and Florida are the end, it's not going to be worse like this again. You're delusional. If you think our power grid is going to survive what's coming, whether it's North Korea or proliferation of other nations that can do it, or just a coronal mass ejection, you're delusional. If you think we're not going to have super earthquakes like the ones I expect to happen in California, 3 weeks ago we had 44 scintillating lights over Los Angeles when they had earthquakes 2.8 to 3.4. We're going to have a superquake here at the Los Angeles San Andreas Fault and the San Jacinto Fault is 90 miles away. And when we had an earthquake last spring, just, 6 months ago, it was like a freight train coming through my house. Now, I have a house built by a contractor that's so solid that it's even rebarred into the second hardest rock on the planet. There's no basement. It's rebarred into the top of a mountain. It's the second hardest rock called blue granite. Okay, the hardest rock is made for the stones you get out of Scotland that they use for curling. And so I don't think most people, even that are preppers, they're delusional. They got a bunch of food stored. They're not ready for power. They're not ready for backup sewage. If you don't have a way of plugging your home so the sewage doesn't back after the fourth day, because every nation in the Western world has power for their water, but they don't have power backup for sewage treatment. Tell us about this, because we talked about this before the show, Vince. People are not ready for anything, are they?
No, they're not. And most are keyboard warriors, and they can tell you what they've read, but do they implement it? No, they don't. You and I were talking
about that term, story. Keyboard warriors. See, I'm going to steal some of your sayings and put them in my word salad dictionary over clay and iron, because you know what? I'm not full of BS. I'm the kind of person, you arrive in the trauma room with a piece of your windshield in your chest, I can do a chest tube and keep you stable to get in the operating room to block off your hemorrhage because you cut a major artery in your chest. The same way, if I'm going to prep, I'm going to try to teach prep, I'm going to do it myself so that I preserve my family, but I also want my neighbors to do it, because if my neighbors don't do it, they're going to show up my doorstep hungry, starving, and dehydrated, and angry as hell, and if they have a weapon, they want to take my stuff because they think they might survive another week.
Yeah.
And you don't think it can get that bad. It's going to be worse. In fact, I tell people, it'll be like being thrown back to the Stone Age. You said, no, the Stone Age will be like the Sandals Resort. What's going to happen if the power goes out in America? It'll make the day of the Walking Dead and all these zombies look like nothing. You'll see murder and cannibalism and violence like you've never seen. You'll see mothers slitting the throats of their children so they don't live another day. People say, oh, Dr. Deagle, you're exaggerating. I say, you know what? You're that stupid. The only thing that's going to cure it is the Darwin effect, which is death. You have to smarten up and have the guts enough to actually challenge me either on air, off air, whatever. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm not trying to be nice. I'm being honest here. And what I see coming, because I work with the federal government and I saw how stupid and evil they were, I want you to know what's coming is annihilation. And we're not just talking about other governments. We're talking about the weather and the planet itself is going into convulsions. We're poisoning the planet. We have the passage of a dwarf star. We have a change in galactic and solar weather that's going to really cause us a lot of trouble. And we're not prepared for anything, and neither are the governments of any nation. Even these giant cities they built along the coast in China, they built giant cities inland because they know it's coming. Even the United Nations knew when that possible thing could blow with the methane hydrates in the Gulf of Mexico. They moved back the United Nations vehicles 500 miles inland because they knew a tsunami caused by an explosion there from a methane hydrate explosion could literally cause a tsunami striking the entire coast of the Gulf of Mexico, Texas, 500 miles inland. But people don't know this except for classified sources that I have, and people are disgustingly, as you say, they're keyboard warriors. They think they're doing something, and they're delusional. They got one or two things they've done, and that makes them feel good. They can pat their food in their garage, but they're not prepared for anything else that's really going to get them, are they?
Well, let me put an exclamation point on what you just said. I have a friend who works for the federal government in a key position. And one day I was in his building, and it was the end of the day, and he locked the door, and there were just two of us in there. And he said, Vinny, I may have to shoot my relatives. And I looked at him like, what are you talking about? He said, well, I keep telling him to prepare and they won't do it. And he used the word, you know, put things back. What he means was store items. And
right.
He said they won't put anything back. They're still going to restaurants. They're still wasting the money. They will not prepare for anything. And he said, they're going to show up at my door and they're going to need everything. And he said, I don't have everything for them. I might have to shoot my relatives. So and that's what he said years ago. And he wasn't exaggerating. He was matter of fact. He was serious about that.
It's very sad. It's very sad because a lot of these preparations, like having backup power, give you an example of something simple. If you want to sterilize food that you've just cooked, let's say you cooked a meal that's enough for eight people, but there's only six there, you can take two servings of that, and if you put it in the long tubes and you drop it into liquid nitrogen for 30 minutes, it sterilizes without radiation or heating. Do you know that? Just drop in liquid nitrogen, it kills everything. Right? You know, all the things that are going to give you dysentery and infections and clostridium and whatever, it kills them all, including viruses. Just drop it in a tube, put it in liquid nitrogen, 30 minutes, boom, nothing can survive. You don't have to irradiate it, which is also what the Israelis experiment for years. They got, you know, 30-year, 50-year storage, but it's big things in containers out in the desert in Israel, packed by radiation. Bad idea, because radiation, when you do it to food, it changes the molecules and screws them up and makes them very likely toxic to your body. Okay?
You know, there was something that you said that we should hit before we close for today, and that was
right. Sewage.
I have a friend who lives in Utah. He's a Mormon.
Right.
He invited me into his house, and he said, all right, I'm going to show you. So he took me into his bunker, and What happened?
Go ahead.
Okay. He took me into his bunker, and he had everything. I mean, he's really, really well thought out, except for one thing. We went outside his bunker. He said, this is the, you know, the bathroom, this is the bathtub. And I said, all right, so what are you going to do? It seems like you live downhill from your neighbors in this development.
Right.
And I said, your bathtub. And he really didn't understand what I was talking about. I said, the sewage from your neighbors uphill is going to come into your bathtub first.
Right.
Then it's going to come into your sink. How are you going to deal with that? And he said, I better get, you know, a plug for that. And I said, right, you need to practice.
Yeah,
or move
to a home with a septic field. I have a septic field. I'm living outside Vista. I'm in an 8-home gated community. My other prepper members of my community are like a DA, an attorney. Everybody in my community is armed to the teeth. And in fact, at the end of the road, they have chickens here, and they're lawyers and attorneys. So people are starting to realize it, but they're not taking enough action to get ready. And just if you did a little bit every day, every month, yep, getting backup power, getting some food storage, storing some of the food for meals and just kind of freeze drying it after you kind of drop in liquid nitrogen. Step by step by step, you're going, okay. The problem is, if you don't convince your friends and neighbors, they're going to show up in your doorstep desperate and ready to do anything, including kill you, to get your stuff. I saw a prepper show a few years ago, and they got in trouble legally. One of their prepper plans was to attack other preppers. Bad idea. We're armed to the teeth, and we got attitude.
You're right.
Yeah, so we want you out there to prepare. We don't want America to become a seething mass of self-killing American humanity. Prepare today or pay tomorrow. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
USA Prepares, we'll have you back. Vince Finelli, thank you for the show.
If you're asleep,
imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.